It is absolutely incredible what God has done in this place over the course of the last 20 years. It's incredible what God has done in this place since it was planted. This church was planted in a basement in 1957. I remember a summer's day, I guess it was back around 1992. See, I grew up just across the street. And from my bedroom window, I could see this little chapel across Nashville Road. And never really was much going on here. Went to a different church and always wondered about this church. And then one day about 1992, I looked out my window one summer's day and, man, there was a bunch of people sitting outside and there was rock and roll music playing. And my dad happened to walk by my bedroom. I said, "Hey, Dad, come here. What's that?" And he leaned down and he looked through the window and he looked and he heard the music and he saw the people and he said, "Son, those are them holy rollers. Stay away from them." And he was right. No. What's amazing is over the course of the years, Dad became a member of this church and loved this church. I became a member of this church. Mom's here. And God's just done incredible things in our lives and incredible things in your lives. And it's incredible what God has done. And today, as we kind of look back a little bit, I want us to look at Philemon. Philemon, it is one of the shortest books in the New Testament. It is right after Titus, right before Hebrews. And so while you're turning there, or figuring out where that is on the screen, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful to be able to gather tonight as the people of God in the house of God. Lord, to worship you and to pour out all that we are to you. And Lord, to receive from you your word of instruction from your word. And Lord, we pray that your spirit, as he moves in this place tonight, that you would pierce our hearts, that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, and Lord, that you would set us on a trajectory that will take us into the future that you have for this place. And so, Lord, our prayer tonight is that you would open our hearts to hear from you and that we would listen and obey. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Philemon only has one chapter, so we're in chapter 1. And we're going to look at verses 4 through 7. Philemon, verses 4 through 7. The Apostle Paul writes as he's carried along by the Holy Spirit, saying this, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." You know, I think back to the first time that I came to Hillview Heights Church. And I don't know about you, but for me, boy, there's something about having control. How many of y'all have at least a little control freak in you? Just a little. I mean, I am a serious control freak. When I go to the doctor, my wife, when we were expecting our son, every time I would go to a doctor's appointment with her, I would be pacing in the room. And she's sitting there on the bed like, "Will you sit down?" "No, I'm fine. I'm pacing back and forth. And when the doctor comes in, I like to be the one to start the conversation. Because if I start the conversation, then I feel like I'm in control. And when the doctor's telling us things, I like to bring back some of my pre-med stuff from college and act like I know what I'm talking about. And my wife is rolling her eyes and wishing that I would shut up. But I love to be in control. I hate to not be in control. And I remember I started coming here when I was, I guess, a junior in high school, which would have been about 1997. Yep, I'm that young and good looking. So about 1997, I started coming here. But I didn't start coming here on Wednesday nights until my senior year. You see, Wednesday nights were for the seriously holy people. I mean, did y'all realize that? Congratulations. Sunday mornings were for everybody, but Wednesday nights were for the seriously holy people. And so I would come to Sunday morning. And then that first time I came here on Wednesday night, I realized very quickly that I was not in control. That was back before the atrium was built. And there was an exterior door right outside the CHD foyer over here. And I walked up and I didn't know anybody. I mean, you know, I was one of those people that snuck in the back door at like 8 o'clock and snuck out the back door at like, you know, 12:45 when Steve got done or whenever it was with that first service. And so I didn't know anybody, but I came on my own, and I'll never forget that the person who greeted me at that door right outside of that CHD foyer was a girl that I went to school with. And she was a girl that people kind of looked down at, you know. She was a girl that people really didn't give a chance to. There were some extenuating circumstances in her life. And she was just a girl that, man, she was that poor girl in high school. You know what? In that moment, she became the most important person in the world because she was the only one I knew. And she came out and she welcomed me. And she brought me in and we sat down in here. And I remember sitting in the worship center. We used to have an ugly yellow rope stuck in pots of cemented paint cans with poles in them that went around the sanctuary on Wednesday night so everybody would scoot up. All right. And so she sat down with me. That girl, right? And here I am. I'm a little stud in my high school, you know, straight A's and captain of the football team and all that. And I am more thankful for that girl than I am for anybody else in that moment. I realized something very quickly when I first came in here that I was no longer in control. And my journey here at Hillview has been a journey over and over of relinquishing more and more control of my life and giving more and more away to Jesus. Recognizing that I am not the Lord of my life. He is. I'm not God over my being. He is. And until I recognize that, until I continually progress and growing in my faith, man, it was a tough life to walk in this place. I remember we didn't have these chairs. We had different chairs. They're still up in the balcony. But I can remember my knuckles being white, holding on to the backs of these chairs because it was kind of like being on a roller coaster. You didn't know what to expect. And it wasn't just because Ayers was preaching. Right? You didn't know what to expect because the Holy Spirit was so moving and so touching. And so many times I felt the Spirit of God calling me to go to the altar at the end of the service. And so many times I was white knuckling the back of that chair saying, no, Lord, no, I will look like a loser. I will look like one of those weak, sappy spiritual people. I will look like one of those crazy people that put their hands up and worship. See, I didn't do that then. I can't. I can't do it. And more until finally the day came when those white knuckles released and my tears led me to the altar and I bowed my knee right over there at that corner, bawling my eyes out because I knew the life I was creating was not the life that God wanted for me. And you know, we could pass around the microphone and you could share your story and so many of them would sound so similar. That we came here in places where we were either broken or we felt like we were as far from being broken as we could ever be. We came here from places where we were rich or where we were poor. We came here from places where we were high society or low society, where we were sober or whether we were drunk. We came here from all kinds of places. And we met God here. And some of you in this room have met God here and have yet to give your life to Him because you're still white-knuckling that chair. Oh, I look like one of those crazy spiritual people who need the crutch of Jesus to lean on. Well, guess what? You do. We all do. And freedom doesn't come until we relinquish that control in our own lives. Until we give up and say, okay, God, it's not about me. It's not about what I can do, but it's about handing myself over to you and saying these words, some of the hardest words you can ever say to anybody. I trust you. Amen. The Apostle Paul writes to Philemon, and he says, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Why? Because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus. It is all about Jesus here. I'm thankful for Pastor Steve for a lot of reasons, but the number one reason that I'm thankful for Pastor Steve Ayers is because for 20 years in this place, it is all about Jesus. We have people who get frustrated and say, I'm tired of hearing the same thing over and over and over, and yet when you ask them to articulate the gospel, they can't do it. You know, they hear it every Sunday for years and years and years, and then they can't tell you what it says. But it is always about Jesus. There is no more. There is no less. Jesus is the darling of heaven who lived a life without sin on this earth and then who went to an old rugged cross for you and for me to pay the price that we couldn't pay, the price for our sin, that He took our punishment and that He was wounded for our transgressions. It's all about Jesus. that he died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days later rose from the grave, and that he ascended to be to the right hand of God the Father Almighty, and that he will return to gather together his church to take us home to be with him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We believe that Jesus was a real person who really lived, who really died, and who really rose again, and that he's really coming back. We believe there's a real heaven, an eternal heaven. And we believe there's a real hell, an eternal hell. And that the choices we make on this earth dictate where we spend eternity. The most important choice is this: will you give your life to Jesus Christ? Will you relinquish control of trying to save yourself and give yourself over to him? That's the only way there is to get to heaven. You can't work yourself there. You can't be good enough to get there. There is one way to get to heaven, and that is to relinquish control of everything you think you're running and say, "Here I am, Jesus. Take me." And so the Apostle Paul writes to Philemon and he says, "I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus, and for that I'm thankful. And I'm also thankful for this, for your love for all the saints." Hillview Heights Church is a place for all people. If you don't believe me, just look around. All people. That means you too. And thank God. You know, some of our dearest saints here are people like Rodney Gerrells. Rodney's a hippie. When I first met Rodney, he was showing me a bag of grass seed. He used to sow grass seed, not like grass seed, but grow in the ground grass seed, right? But if you look at Rodney, you may think it's the grass seed kind. And so I really thought I was trying to be in proposition to buy a bag of weed at church. And I'm like, well, it is Hillview, okay? You look at Rodney and you know, I'll never forget my wife. Sorry, honey. But my wife, the first time she met Rodney sometimes will come up and rub your back like that. And it is the most exquisite back rub ever. It just will, oh, it's great. But my wife, who has a bubble about 20 feet around her, Rodney came up and he goes, you know, and she was just looking at me like, are you kidding? What is he doing? And now she's like, Hey, Rodney. You know, I mean, it's incredible. Ronnie's one of those faithful servants we have here. Then you look at people like Dr. Blevins, who comes to the 8 o'clock service. He's a dentist here in town, and he always has on a suit. Always has on a suit. Has on a tie and a jacket and slacks every single time he's here. It is a place for all people. We have the richest of the rich, the poorest of the poor, everybody in between. We have the most educated, the least educated. We have every color of the rainbow, and we're creating new ones. And God is doing incredible things here. In a place where in 1991 all the church experts said it would never happen. We have got to be a place that, like Philemon, has love for all the saints. Who are saints? Those who have received Christ. And we've got to be a place who have a love not only for all the saints, but also for all people. And we've done that for 20 years, but here's what I want to challenge us to. The easiest thing we can do is to turn inward. The easiest thing we can do is to get comfortable. Like, how many of you have your seats, even in this setting, on Wednesday night worship? You have your seat. Uh-huh. Yeah, I know this row has their seats. I know you have your seats. You have your seats. Linda, you roam. We know. All right? We hear you, okay? But you have your seats. Sheriff, you got your seats. You know, you have your seats. This is it, right? And there's nothing wrong with having your seat. There's really nothing wrong with that. Where it becomes a problem is this, that if somebody new is in your seat and you're just ticked the whole service, well, what happens if that somebody new who's in your seat receives Christ that night? What happens? See, that's what it's about, and it's a refocus. It's what Pastor Keith tells the choir all the time, that it's not about us. It's not about me. It's about the kingdom of God expanding as people come and they hear the gospel and they receive Christ and they're not the same ever again. That we would have love for all the saints. He goes on to say in verse 6, "I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ." How many of you are active in sharing your faith? Yes, Linda, we know. active in sharing your faith. You know, as Philemon receives this letter from Paul, what Paul is saying is this. Yes, share the gospel. Tell the story of what Jesus has done in your life. There are incredible stories in here. I think about Lenny and Lynn. You know why Lenny and Lynn are here? Because Hurricane Katrina happened right after Lenny had open heart surgery. And they lived in southern Louisiana. They had to get out. Lenny's chest was healing up. They had to get out. And where do they end up? Bowling Green, Kentucky, at a church called Hillview Heights. And thank God they're here. But there's so many stories here. This faith is not about living it individually. This faith is about embracing the stories that God is weaving together here. Listen to people's stories. Tell people your story. And watch the hand of God as He orchestrates the beauty that is Hillview Heights Church. Watch the hand of God as He plucks us and brings us together to a place where we can serve and we can worship and we can pray and we can study the Word of God together and we can fellowship. Watch the hand of God as He brings all this together. And then remember that we have a purpose. It's not just to be together, but it is to expand the kingdom. It's to bring others with us. You know, David, every Sunday morning, man, it's like you're on a roll. I mean, I'm calling you David the Baptist from now on. But David works in a recovery kind of setting and oversees that kind of work. And every morning, every Sunday morning, man, he's walking in with a crew. And he's walking in with people whose lives are busted up and broken because they've been using and they're addicted and they're all these things. And then they meet Jesus. And what David knows is that the most important thing is that the best step of any program is that you connect your life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And people's lives are changed forevermore. It's about sharing what God is doing in us so that others may come and be a part. A few weeks ago, you were given a card, said the gospel on it. You remember? And you wrote a name on it. How many of you wrote a name on it? Everybody write a name on it? I hope you did. If you didn't, find it and dig it up and write a name on there. And start praying for that person. Because if you don't know somebody who's yet to be connected to Jesus Christ, you're doing something wrong. All right? Go to work. Go to a family reunion. Go to places where lost people are. You know where that is? Everywhere. Make a friend. Write that friend's name down. Write that family member's name down and begin to pray. Share what God has done in your life. Listen, we've had over 6,000 baptisms here in 20 years. Which is incredible what God has done. But I believe, along with Pastor Steve and Pastor Jamie and all of our pastoral staff, we believe strongly that the next 20 years, that 6,000 should look paltry. Not meaning that we're not celebrating what God has done, but meaning that God has positioned us for greater impact than ever before. God has positioned us in a place where we can go into all nations proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you are going. You don't even know it yet. Some of you are going to places you've not even heard of on the globe yet, and God's going to use you to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to share the faith that God has placed inside of you. Others of you don't even know it, but you're going to help fund that. God's going to bless you, and you're going to help fund that people can go. We are poised to see God do amazing things. And I believe in the next 20 years, we're going to just increase and increase and increase. But the way that happens is that each of us must, in our faith, increase and increase and increase, must share the gospel, must share with our friends, must bring them with us to Wednesday night, to Sunday morning, to Sunday night. Invite them to come that they might hear and be saved. It will increase as more and more of us are wearing black robes in that baptistry with our friends and people that we've invested in who want us there in the water the day they profess their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when it'll increase. And we'll see God do things we've never dreamt of before. We'll see God do things that we can't even imagine right now because, see, 20 years have been amazing. But what God has poised us for is unbelievable. Our task is to do it. Our task is to be about it. to be growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ and to be going to the nations. And sometimes the nations are in Bangladesh and sometimes they're next door. Verse 7. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. You know, my prayer for us is that we would be a church that refreshes the heart of the saints. Right now in Japan, little archipelago over in Southeast Asia, it's about the size of Montana. But there are 127 million people in Japan right now. Of that 127 million, 3 million are Christians. 3 million Christians among 127 million people. 0.5% of the population is evangelical, meaning that they're, you know, kind of like Hillview. They believe that you got to repent and trust Christ and things of that nature. They believe the Bible to be the Word of God, that it is true, that it is accurate, that it is inerrant. 0.5% of that population, which is roughly 600,000 people, are actively following Jesus. And they just had the fifth largest earthquake ever to strike the earth in recorded history happen. They just had a tsunami that you watched on the news wipe out entire towns in minutes. Right now, there are people over there, and they are digging through piles of rubble, getting people to just try to bang on something if you're alive. 600,000 people out of 127 million are actively following Christ. Think God might use us somehow? Because they need rescue, not only from the physical peril that they're going through right now, but also they need Jesus' rescue. You know what? The same is true in Warren County. There are 85,000 people in our county who don't know Jesus. 85,000 people that we pass every day on the road, that we go to the Minute Mart or the Junior Food Store or the IGA with, that we shop next to, that we sit in class next to, that we work next to, that sometimes we live with, who don't know Jesus. What might God do with the group of people, 6,000 or so people who've gathered together at Hillview Heights Church? What might He do if each one of us grabbed a hold of that vision? What might He do if each one of us were faithful in sharing our faith, and in doing so, we might finally understand the fullness of what we have in Jesus Christ? What might He do if we will step into His vision? If we will step into His plan and we will step into His activity. I'll never forget my first day at Hillview. Scared me to death. And it wasn't just because the guy preaching had a mullet and was wearing flip-flops. And it wasn't just because they were playing rock and roll music with a huge grand piano on the stage at that time and some guy with a black mustache yelling at us. That wasn't just the reason. Okay. The reason that it scared me is because I really had to encounter and listen to the Spirit of God. And it rattled me to my core that I had to listen to God's Holy Spirit, that I had to relinquish some of my control. And then I had to say, okay, God, You're God, let's go. I'll never forget that time. Some of you in this room, that's right where you are right now. You're in that place where you're still trying to hold on to some type of decorum or control or something. And if you hold too tightly and cling too tightly to your control and your decorum and your dignity, you will find yourself in hell. Because tonight God is calling you to let go. If you're like me, maybe it's to let go of the chair. Maybe it's to let go of some of your pride. Maybe it's to let go of some of who you think you've built yourself to be. And to come to this altar and say, Jesus, I believe You died on the cross. I believe You rose from the grave. Tonight, I give myself to You. I repent of my sin, and I ask You to be my Lord and Savior. Maybe that's you tonight. Maybe tonight you've received Christ, but you've never been baptized. And you need to make that decision and say, Lord, I'm willing to step out, that I will be active in sharing my faith by following You into the waters of baptism. And for others of you tonight, you're poised. You're ready. It's time to launch the next 20 years of ministry at Hillview Heights Church. It's not about Hillview Heights Church, it's about Jesus. But God has got you in a place where you are ready, and you're not really sure what that means just yet, but maybe tonight you just need to come to this altar and say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Whatever it is you need, send me. Whatever it is that you've gifted me to do, I'll do. Lord, I give up my control of trying to live my Christianity the way I want to do it, and I'm willing to live it the way you want me to live it. Maybe that's you tonight. And so we're going to have a time of altar, and I'm just going to invite us all to come and to really deal with God on some things as we step into the next 20 years of ministry at Hillview Heights Church. To really deal with God on some things. There'll be people coming to pray. There'll be people who are just loving on each other. And so there's a space at this altar for you too. Just like there was for me back in 1998. Right here at this corner. It took everything I had to let go of the pew and come. But I'm so thankful that the Holy Spirit so compelled me that day. Because He changed me. He'll change you too. Let's stand together and pray. Father, we love you, and Lord, we are just so thankful for all that you have done in this place. And Lord, we know it's not about Hillview. It's not about Steve Ayers. It's not about Jamie Ward, Keith Scarborough, Mark Hale, Jeff Reynolds. It's not about any of us. It's about you. And Lord, our prayer tonight is that in this moment we would listen to you and do just exactly what you're calling us to do. Lord, for those who have yet to receive Christ, that tonight they would come and receive Christ. For those who've never been baptized, that tonight they would be they would make that decision to be baptized. And Lord, for those who are feeling the call of God into increased ministry, Lord, that we would come and we would submit ourselves unto you. In the name of Jesus, this altar is open. Please come. Come.